Simply Psalm 23:1-3. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If you needed a message for tonight or a title, The Necessities of Life, I shall not want. In the Old Testament, when famines hit, people began to be in want. We found the prodigal son used up all that he had, and he found himself in want. We sing song, Fill My Cup, Lord, includes the lines, Feed me till I want no more. The word want meant need. The people were in need. The son was in need. Feed me till I need no more. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall have no needs. Why? Because he will supply them. God, my shepherd, will supply for my needs. But then David goes on in the second and third verses of Psalm 23 to list four specific needs that God fills. The four things the Spirit of God records here as the necessities of life. What does God see as needs? Number one, food and drink. Number two, a peaceful spirit. Number three, salvation. And number four, living a righteous life. So again, food and drink, a peaceful spirit, salvation, and living the righteous life. Okay, so now that you got the outline, if you want to leave, go ahead, that's it. All right, you're stuck then. Okay, number one, simple, food and drink, the obvious. The pastures and the waters. You want to prove I'm wrong? Go a couple of weeks without food or drink, and then come and argue your point. If you're not dead. But otherwise, food and drink are the obvious physical necessities of this life. But then we start with number two. Now, most of you have heard from more knowledgeable people than me about the sheep and their need for peaceful waters, waters that aren't stirred up or they won't drink. A quiet meadow to lay in, undisturbed, no predators, they will not rest. The second necessity of life is a restful spirit, and I find that with the still waters and the green pastures. Peaceful spirit comes from trusting God. The peace, it has many enemies. Things are peace's enemies. Things can destroy contentment, and we never have enough things. We never have shiny enough things, whether physical possessions or things like power, authority, recognition, glory, praise. Desire or lust for more of these things, they'll destroy our contentment. They'll promote restlessness in our lives. Peace has other enemies, money troubles, suffering, loss, conflict, anger, unforgiveness, etc. The list goes on. They all attack the spirit, and our concern for them, our constant mind on them, produces unrest. Other people can be a source of unrest, and this world is full of other people. Those you trusted that you feel stabbed you in the back, abusive parents, abusive spouses, things like that. I've had people like that that filled my thoughts day in and day out for weeks on end, months on end. If my mind wasn't totally busy with something else, they were on it. Troubled spirits. Isaiah 26:3 states, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Anything that draws your mind to fixation on it instead of God is the enemy of peace. This includes all kinds of outside circumstances. my present job has become an enemy of peace in my life. Quite a few years ago, I had the privilege to teach the adult Sunday school class for just a few months. At that time, I worked a job by myself, and I worked in one place all night long. And as I was working, I had the chance to mull over the stuff I was going to do in lessons weeks and weeks in advance. And then when I got to break time, I could go jot down notes. On my days off, I could look it up, research it, and write it out. My job's changed. Now I work with a group of people. We have three or four areas that we are all crowded into, working, tripping over each other, trying to get them done one after another all night long. And breaks are spent worrying about who missed, we got to carry their load, who messed up, we got to go fix it. There is no peace, there's no time. And I'm afraid I can go entire nights without a thought of God. It's not a proud thing, but it's a fact. Anything that draws you away from God is an enemy of peace. A peaceful mind is a necessity in life. When we can't find peace, we drown out the noise with noise of our own. Constant blasting of music in our ears, constant television type thing. And when those things don't work, we find other entertainments. Then we find drugs, find alcohols, and ultimately, some find suicide. All of it just to find rest, a search for peace. And God told us where to find peace. He said, cast all your cares upon him and don't go back and pick them up. And then he told you why. Because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. The good shepherd cares about the sheep. A peaceful mind and spirit is a necessity in our lives. It can only be found in trusting the shepherd. The third necessity of life is also an obvious one. Because it's obvious, I'll be brief there. Salvation. The phrase is, he restores my soul. And when we initially read this psalm, we equate the words, he restores my soul, to peace. In truth, it is peace, but of a whole different kind. See, my soul was innocent. It was formed that way by the Lord God of heaven and earth. But when presented with sin as an option, I chose sin. I didn't necessarily understand that I chose hell over heaven, evil over good, garbage over God, but I chose. I stepped out of innocence, and the door closed behind me and locked me on the outside. It took the blood, even the very life of God's only Son, to open that door. But God was still on the other side. He was on the holy side to open that door and let me back in. Lost in sin, headed for hell for eternity, I needed my soul restored to righteousness. It was a necessity of life. He restoreth my soul. Then finally, God says it is necessary for us to live a righteous life. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. For the glory of God, we must live a righteous life. It's been said that we are the only Bible that some will ever read. It's also been said we may be the only Christ some will ever know. Like it or not, others are looking at you. Most of them do not understand what they're looking at. The world, family, friends, enemies, children, even other Christians, new and old, are watching, and most do not truly understand what a Christian is when they're watching them. The definition of Christian is Christ-like, but Christ was perfect in all things. God, perfect. Christian may be a name that we've accepted or even claimed, but Christ-like is not something that we've achieved or arrived at. It's a goal, an aim, something we are to strive for, perhaps with every breath and every step we take. But perfection is something we can never truly reach on this world, in this life. But if you claim to be Christian, somehow that means you claim to be perfect in most people's eyes. Now, this world does not understand sinner saved by grace. Emphasis on sinner. Someone who knows that they have weaknesses, they know they have sins, they know they fail. Someone who recognizes their own needs, their own lack, yet reaches upward, struggling to be better. All they hear is Christian, Christ-like, and they directly connect those claims to perfection. So when you do slip, when you do fall, and you will slip, I will fall. They pounce on that as if I'm a fake, a liar, untruthful. The things you say, the direction you lead, are all seen as false because you are not the perfect person you claim to be, at least in their eyes. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, others may follow the path you walk, but the minute you misstep, they walk off the path. They reject the path that you walked altogether. They turn back. Seeing you as a false leader, and by connection, seeing your God as a false God. I know this for myself. Many of you knew my son, attended every church service, went to Christian school his whole life. Yet he and his family have little to nothing to do with God today. They only attend a church to go to a wedding or a funeral. Somewhere along the line, he followed after me, and he saw false steps somewhere. And he saw me as a fake and walked away from God. Sadly, but truly, men's eyes are not on God. They're on us. We talk of our need to witness and lead others to Christ, but our lives are a witness. And how many watchers are we actually turning away from God by our own actions, our inactions, our attitudes? Maybe not intentionally, but when we slip, somebody else falls. For God's glory, for the very salvation of another, we must strive to live a righteous or holy life. From God's viewpoint, it's a necessity. To live the life God wants for us, we must trust him to fill our needs, both physical and spiritual. But the physical passes, while the spiritual things are eternal. These four things, David said, the Spirit, the Shepherd, will supply. We'll let him fill our needs. Food and drink, a restful mind and spirit, salvation, and a righteous walk with and for him. These four things we need. They are the necessities of our life.